Welcome to the Rose and Zach Power Hour. I'm Zachary Zeller. She's Rose Cole.
Here I am.
Here she is. Today we are talking to you this week about misinformation and the legacy that has, especially on social media, which is what we're going to be focusing on the most today. This week we are going to be discussing how misinformation spreads, how do people get their news, and our main premise is Rose here knows a lot more about TikTok than I do and how news spreads on TikTok, and I know nothing about TikTok. So a good portion of this is going to be me reacting to the wild world of TikTok and misinformation. And then we're also probably going to discuss, if we have time, discuss
cable news.
Cable news, right?
They bleed into each other because TikTok, I would say since COVID, since 2020, TikTok has taken over. And one of the things that I've noticed is that there's so much people buy into things without looking any further. And people take advantage of that. People on TikTok, what gets you the most views on social media? It's posting outlandish, crazy, wild things, clickbaity. We saw that with YouTube. People always clickbait on YouTube, right? And then Instagram Reels came into the picture and people started baiting with that. So TikTok sees a lot of clickbaiting. And it's a lot of, I don't want to say fear-mongering, but...
You can say fear-mongering. I think a lot of it ends up being fear-mongering.
Stress farming is another term I've seen, like anxiety farming. People like to stir the pot, so to speak. And I think one good example of this, and I obviously you haven't heard of this, but so basically the premise, and I don't know the whole story, but from my research, there was this YouTuber who he started on YouTube, then went to TikTok. So he was a cosplayer. So he would dress up as different COD characters, you know, do like cute little skits, videos, whatever. And that's a huge community that I've noticed on TikTok. So he was a big mental health advocate, men's mental health specifically, as we all know, super important. And he was talking about it on a live stream. And somewhere, somebody got the idea. There were screenshots and things that he was being creepy to an underage individual. I should mention he was 21 at this point. Okay. And so there was somehow it got around that he was being creepy and he was a pedophile. And so what was a normal live stream turned into just a horrendous mosh pit almost of just aggressive comments. You did this and you did this and you should kill yourself. And unfortunately, he did actually end up committing suicide.
I did hear about this actually. Yes.
Yeah, on live
stream. On TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
I did hear about that.
Like a week before his birthday. Inquisitor was his name, I believe. And it's just, it's so depressing to think about. But, and that's just a small scale, I think, example of misinformation. But people had the wrong information. And I know that people for a fact did not know where it came from. They had heard it from someone else who had heard it from someone else. And these screenshots, it turns out, were actually faked. It was a girl and her boyfriend were in on it together. And they faked the screenshots and they made the whole thing up. But the point of the story is that nobody cared to look any deeper into it. And so it got spread like wildfire and a young man lost his life, unfortunately, because of that. But I think the most problematic thing about TikTok is its algorithm. The way it pushes videos to you, and I have it in an article pulled up here, but the way that they push videos to you, the algorithm silences a lot of people. Unless you have a verification, it's like Twitter, unless you have that little verified thing next to your name or you have an X number of followers, your videos are going to get lost. It's not like Instagram where you can hashtag the crap out of something and it ends up on lots of people's pages.
Like an ad.
Exactly. It's not that easy with TikTok. And there's been speculation about this in terms of the whole China thing, how the algorithm maybe like it's a product of that, but actually removed 100+ million views videos from TikTok.
Wow.
For when the whole China thing came out. So this was 2 years ago, 2022. They removed, I think the exact number here is 102 million videos for violating guidelines.
What guidelines did they violate?
Less than 1% were removed for violating the company's integrity and authenticity guidelines, which includes misinformation. So they were trying to crack down on misinformation, but they actually ended up removing a lot of credible videos and credible sources. But the main issue with TikTok is that, like I said, it's the algorithm. So let's say you search something once. I could search abortion laws, let's say, right? Like I could just search something general. I want more information. You're going to get videos that are pushed by sponsors. It's like YouTube in that way. So you get, or like Instagram even, like where you get, they're pushing people's videos that are sponsored by a plethora of different companies and corporations and whatever. And that, plus the fact that it's individual people that are having these huge voices with these platforms, it's just a nasty combination. And I know TikTok has gotten people killed. Aside from suicides, I know there have been other types of crimes related to that. But it catches like wildfire. People see one post about something. And I think that speaks to the issues with the education system as well, because we're not teaching these basic skills of, how do I fact check something? How do I make sure this is credible? What do those sources look like? And so with TikTok, you have a younger age group. I would say primarily, I believe it's 18 to 26 is that main gap that people of TikTok users. And so they're seeing videos and they're sharing them with people before they're even checking them. And then their friends look at those and they think, wow, that's so interesting, or wow, that's messed up, or whatever. They send it to somebody else. These videos always end up on another social media platform anyway. I see TikTok videos that get put to Instagram, Reels that get put to Snapchat, Facebook even. So they're all in rotation. And that's why I wanted to highlight social media, because it's like a wildfire. All it takes is one click to share that video. And now everybody in your circle thinks that's true, even if it's not, you know. And that's bled over into cable news, which I know you were going to talk about.
So my story with cable news, before I get into that, I want to mention that I think that something you've mentioned that's absolutely true is just going back to the schooling aspect for a second, which is that I think my high school was not great in a lot of ways, but I think they did do some good job here and there with a couple of different aspects. And one was they really pushed digital literacy and they really hammered that in. And did it take to the student population? No, not really, but you know, they tried. And I think that there is a lack of effort that I cannot explain some posts I've seen from other people. Again, just on my personal end of like, why would you say that about anyone or me or in public? That's going to be somewhere forever. And you will cause
digital footprint.
And you will just cause irreparable damage to yourself and to relationships with other people just based on your need to think you're popular by saying something to everyone else.
Yeah, for validation. Right. At the end of the day, that's what social media is. It's all about external validation from your peers, right? You want to seem cool. You want to come across like you've got it all together.
Going towards cable news, and it's funny because I can actually, it's a nice transition, social media. I'm going to tell a little story about my father. He was down Facebook rabbit for you. And he's not like a deep state conspiracy. It's not like that. His problem was that he would watch cable news, watch CNN every day, and he would see what's going on, and he would feel the need to battle people online that didn't agree with his opinions or that he felt said flagrantly wrong things. So he would just get into it with relatives and people on Facebook just because they would piss him off so much. And the psychological impact of that started with cable news. It started with a pure hatred for Fox News. It really did. And I don't blame him.
No.
I don't like Fox or CNN.
I was going to say, I can't stand either one of them.
I don't like either one of them. I don't get my news from those sources anymore. I really try to stay focused on like the New York Times, which I know is itself biased, and other print media that has built its reputation on being unbiased, even if that's not necessarily true today. Because cable news is such a swamp right now. And you want to talk about fear-mongering. That's where it is the most. And that's where, honestly, misinformation gets spread on social media all the time. Misinformation is rampant on cable news, no matter which side of the aisle you are looking on. Mm-hmm. And I think that the apex of that is when they do fact-check something and when they don't. They will fact-check something on CNN or Fox when it fits their narrative, who they're trying to play up to, and they will let it slide and promote misinformation when it doesn't. And I think
that's when it's convenient for them.
And it's easier to see with Fox News because I feel like it's a lot more blatant, but that makes the CNN stuff almost more insidious. That they'll be like,
so sneaky.
Because it's sneaky. You're like, yeah, they point a lot of the time, but then they're like pushing this other like narrative under the surface, and you have to catch yourself or you're going to be like, whoa, I bought into this thing that's not true, and they're not going to retract something later. Nobody does retractions anymore in journalism. And the scariest thing as a teacher is not for me social media misinformation, because I feel like that's been around. Like, spreading rumors about someone on social media has always been an aspect of social media.
Yeah.
And I feel like as we get older, as we get older, as the up and rising generation into the job market, and as the younger generation gets older and has more experience with social media, kids are being told a lot earlier on now that be careful on social media because there's a lot of misinformation and danger out there.
Yep.
We don't talk about it enough with cable news. And I know we talk about it a lot, but we don't.
No, it's not nearly about it enough. It's not nearly enough.
And we don't push back on it enough, certainly. We'll talk about it. We won't do anything about it.
Oh, no. It's all bark and no bite, so to speak. And it's true. Social media, that's been, I remember in middle school when Instagram and Snapchat were just coming up. And I remember there was nothing about, oh, be careful, this might not be real, or that picture might be edited, or there was nothing about that. We didn't know. So we just messed around and found out, so to speak. And now you're right. You're right.
And it's worse now with AI. I don't want to jump on the AI bandwagon because it's been talked to death and we've only got so much time here. But it's obviously worse with AI. I want to turn to, you brought with you today wonderfully, a series of kind of graphs from the Pew Research Center that say where people are getting their news information from based on age range and how people are getting their news. And what are they accepting as reality from that? There's something that on the second page of that, and it's going to be linked, obviously, in the podcast. There is a beautiful bar graph, a series of bar graphs that tells you it's the percentage of U.S. adults who get news often from and then lists the sources. And in younger generations, obviously, I think today that it's most accepted, generally speaking. There are exceptions to this rule, for sure, that I'm about to say. That I feel like, generally speaking, the most trusted publications end up being print publications or radio. Radio, it's a little iffy because obviously you've got like extremely biased sources out there. Rush Limbaugh pops to mind for sure.
Yes.
But I think NPR is a massive force for unbiased news, and that there's not an NPR equivalent in necessarily in print or in TV or social media. So I think that's massive points for that. However, this bar graph shows that across all age ranges, which are 18, 29, 30, 49, 50 to 64, and 65 plus, radio and print are the least viewed or listened to sources of news. And that most people, the younger generations, are getting their 18, 29, 30, 49, are getting their news from a smartphone, computer, or tablet, or a television. Those are the two highest, for the 18, 29, 30, 49, it's mostly smartphones, computers, and tablets. For 50 to 64, it's a pretty even split between smartphones and tablets and television. And for 65 plus, it is overwhelmingly television and then smartphone, which is disturbing because those are the two that are easiest to get away with misinformation.
Yes.
And those are the two that I think it scares me the most.
I do think it's interesting, and I'll mention, and it's on, I think, the next page. But what's interesting to me is that, so those first two age groups, 18 to 29 and 30 to 49, I think it's interesting how what I'm trying to say is how similar, if you cut that in half and you look simply at 18 to 29 and 30 to 49, how similar those look in terms of percentages versus like 50 to 64 and 65 plus, they are also are similar.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting. And I think if you really wanted to, you could do like a whole breakdown on the different generations and like how they've been impacted and why they look like get their news that way. But it is overwhelmingly smartphone, computer, tablet. Like the fact that it's 16% for the youngest age group for a television, I don't know. It doesn't feel right. The next page, they have the news website's most preferred way.
Yeah.
The news website is the most preferred way to get digital news, which is interesting. 26% of these people get their news from news websites or apps, whereas compared to 11% on social media and 12% on search. I think that it doesn't answer your question, but I think it definitely provides some evidence that people are still consuming, let's say, New York Times or whatever, but it's not the print version anymore. We've phased away from, I'm going to go to the newsstand and get myself a newspaper. People are using technology to primarily smartphones or computers to get their news from news websites, which also makes me think about which sites these are and how biased those sites are.
I wish there was a breakdown of websites or apps.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
With any study, there are things that it does well and things that it is lacking. And the thing that this is lacking is that it's telling you where people are getting things from, but it's not telling you, or like the types of things people are getting from. It's not telling you where specifically it's getting them from. And I think that would be interesting. The one that I think is clear, a little meta commentary for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Podcasts. A net 22% of Americans are likely to get, I might be misinterpreting this, get their news from podcasts. That's scary because that's even less verified. Social media at least sometimes has community notes that is supposed to tell you when a source is biased. Yes. There's none of that in a podcast. A podcast is a closed off format where people can just say whatever and you can't insert a computerized voice going, actually, this is not true what they just said. That's it's just not, like a...
There's no live tuning of that. And that's something on TikTok also. Is podcasts are so rampant on TikTok and it's people that just have microphones and just talk about things. And it's a fear-mongering thing. But that's interesting that podcasts, that's an alarming number for podcasts.
Podcasts.
And I'm sure it's only gone up.
In conclusion, we're terrified. We're terrified of misinformation.
Horrified.
We didn't really bring up any of the readings for this week. The one I just want to highlight quickly is that I think fits best into our discussion here is the misinformation can be beautiful too, which is a misleading title until you read it because you're like, oh, they're saying misinformation can be a good thing. Like a thing. No, they're saying that misinformation can look really pretty and you'll buy into it more. Because it looks
is.
Like, I think one of the examples they gave is that, oh, the price of diamonds is a woman's leg sexily showing off in fishnets. That's also a graph. But and you believe it because you're like, ooh, it's got appeal and I'm looking at it. And that, I think, is the ethos of everything we've discussed here today is that misinformation can be beautiful. It can be real ugly.
But it's dressed up to look beautiful.
Right. And from a certain perspective, and the video that the professor posted for us to watch this week on selective perception also covers this a bit, where it's different people's realities. Something that is ugly to you or ugly to me, which is Tucker Carlson in his bow tie walking around Russia with shopping carts that require you to put a quarter in it to use, is that's ugly to me for a lot of reasons. It's beautiful to so many people.
Certain demographics, they like
it.
So
many people love that man walked around Russia admiring their homeless prevention shopping carts. So that, I think, is the big takeaway, that across TikTok and across cable news and in these studies that we've looked at, we just gotta be vigilant. And for the education, for being in a classroom, it is so imperative. Sources are biased. Sources can lie. Just because you see it online doesn't. It's the Wikipedia principle.
Yes, it is. Yes.
If you can impart on students that Wikipedia is not a good source because anyone can edit it at any time, they can get the lesson that happens.
And I think, like we said, with things like social media, telling now that kids are more educated on these things before they start, they're looking out for those things. They're looking for the signs. Knowledge is power. No, the more you know, the more you can focus on what actually matters and start preventing misinformation from spreading.
I do think it's getting better. I think that to end on a positive note, as you said, that the kids are getting more aware that I think this is something that's bad right now, that has a chance of getting better in the future, but also has a very good chance of staying bad.
I think with the right people and the right minds on this, with the right people in the right fields, we can make a difference. It's a group effort. There's nothing we can do individually, really, but if we come together, we can move this in the right direction.
Is it for the Rose and Zach Power Hour? Power 20 minutes.
Yes.
The 20 minute Power Hour. thank you for listening. Thank you for
enjoying
this class and enjoying, I guess. Yeah, enjoying. That's better.
Yes.
Thank you for enjoying. Hope we didn't ramble too much. Have a wonderful week.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.